Please join me in prayer. Lord, we praise your name today and give thanks for the privilege of worshiping you. Please send your Holy Spirit to bless and guide our service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is Jesus? When we read in the Gospels about Jesus' three-year ministry on earth, we see how he went from place to place, drawing large crowds, preaching, teaching, healing, forgiving sins, and performing miracles. Now, the Bible only tells us of a small part of what Jesus did. It says if everything he did was written down, the whole world couldn't contain all the books. And these are all mighty works done in the Father's name. Now, Jesus' ministry directly affected thousands and thousands of people. And just imagine the word of mouth that went around. The talk of Jesus spread far and wide. Many believed, but many still wondered, who is this Jesus? At one point, Jesus asked his disciples two very important questions. Matthew 16:13-20. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, if we ask today, what do men say about Jesus? We would get various answers, just as the disciples did. We might hear one of the prophets. We might hear a moral teacher. We might hear some things that I'd rather not repeat. But all of those answers are equally wrong. There is only one right answer, the one that Peter gave. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And thanks to the Lord, we would hear that correct answer many, many times today from all corners of the globe. We would hear that correct answer, and that knowledge didn't come from flesh and blood. It came from the grace, blessing, mercy of God. We can plant the seed, we can water the seed, but God makes it grow. When we say Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, it means that Jesus offers salvation from sin. Sin that brought a curse, not only on mankind, but on all creation. Not only did sin bring death and decay, it also brought slavery to sin, the sinful nature or the carnal mind, which is a one-way ticket to death and decay. God hates sin because he is holy. Holiness is the most exalted of his attributes. His holiness totally saturates his being. His holiness epitomizes his moral perfection and his absolute freedom from blemish of any kind. Now, human beings aren't like that. Sin separates us from God, and this is a gulf that we cannot bridge. We cannot work our way into it. We cannot study our way into it. We cannot buy our way into it. We cannot negotiate our way into it. We are helpless because nothing we can ever do will make us worthy of anything other than death and decay. We stand condemned and guilty as charged. Let's see if this works. Oh, what a miserable person I am, Paul wrote. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. God did not leave us alone. Through grace, mercy, and kindness, he sent his only Son into this sad situation, into this broken world. And Jesus offers salvation. This is a free gift offered to us. Because sin didn't catch God by surprise. Satan didn't pull the wool over God's eyes in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says several times that sending Jesus was God's plan from before the creation of the world. It also said that Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning with a big bang. Yes, we stood condemned and guilty, and God paid a ransom to save us, not a ransom of gold and silver, but the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Now, what happens when this ransom is paid, and how is it paid? Another time during Jesus' ministry, a group of unbelievers surrounded him and said, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." When Jesus saves, he really saves. Jesus died once for sins for all time. This means all the time in the past and all the time in the future. And try as he might, there's no way Satan will ever going to snatch those away from God's hand. Because when we're saved, when we believe and put our trust and faith in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we become as a new creation. And it's a new beginning, a new way of living. As we follow Jesus, we hear his voice. He knows us. We turn our life over to him as a sheep does to its shepherd. As Peter wrote, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord is good." In this metaphor, the pure spiritual milk is found in the word of the Lord. When we get a taste of it, we want more. When we crave his word and grow up in our salvation, we become mature Christians. This is the free gift that Jesus offers us. And once we have it, once we hear his voice and follow him, our inner and outer lives reflect this. It's an enormous change. And it's a change that doesn't stop. It doesn't stagnate. After all, it is like Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We died with him, and we live with him." Given this fact, with Christ alive in us, how can we not see a dramatic change? One that only increases as we mature in our lives with Christ. We are dead to the life we used to know and born again as children of God. So who is Jesus? We heard earlier, Jesus is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. John writes in the book of Revelation about a vision from heaven where God holds a sealed scroll and an angel calls out, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" John wept. He cried, because there was no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth who was worthy to open the scroll. No one anywhere. No wonder John cried, because that's a tragedy. I'd cry too. That would mean there's no hope, no chance of redemption, nothing but condemnation, because everything in creation is unworthy. But Jesus is not about tragedy. Jesus is about victory. Amen? One of the elders of heaven said to John, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." John looked, and there in the throne room of God stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. And the lamb took the scroll from God's right hand, and heaven burst forth in song. "Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." Because the Lamb is worthy, he makes us worthy. When Jesus prevailed, those born again in Christ also prevail. Sin brings death, but through Christ, who came to earth and lived among us and shared in that death through the cross, broke that power. And finally, near the end of Revelation, we read that death itself will be destroyed and God will make everything new. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for these former things have passed away. Why did God do this? Why did he do this incredible thing for us? Why did he send his only Son, whom he loved, the only worthy one in creation, the one to whom all creation sings praises, to die on a cross and then to live for us, condemned sinners that we are, so we could live with him forever in paradise? Jesus tells us why, and it is so simple and yet so amazing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God did it because he loves us. He loves us. When you read these verses again, we have to believe in the name of Jesus to be saved. I'm telling you right now, there's only one Savior, one Messiah, one mediator between God and man. Out of all creation, one who's worthy. And only one way to escape the condemnation that we all face. It is by grace through faith in the Messiah Jesus. And God sent Jesus to save us because of his love for the world. For us. Can you imagine being loved that much? You are. God sent Jesus for you and me because of that love, through grace, through God's mercy. Who can stand against such love? Satan tries every trick in the book. Guilt, shame, heartache, all the bad things we see in this broken world, everything in his power to make you feel worthless, to think God can't possibly love me, so you won't believe, to make you think that all is hopeless. But the only thing Satan has is deception and death. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What can snatch us out of God's hand? Nothing. Nothing exists that can do that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for loving us and allowing us to pray to you. And thank you for your precious free gift of grace and salvation through the death and resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We offer our prayer in the name of Christ. Amen.